listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is?
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you're well today. After all, it is Wednesday in the working world, better known as Hump Day, because you got to get over the hump. And of course you will. And I hope that you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, because you don't want to put off today, you know, what you could, you don't want to put off till tomorrow what you could be doing today. That's the way that goes. And you're not a procrastinator, you're a doer. So brothers and sisters, let's get it done, and let's do it together. Let's do it together, because that's how we are as a people. It's never been men lead. No, men and women lead. There's a complementarity. There's a symbiotic relationship between us as men and our sisters, and that's something we lost because of the captivity and the imposition of a culture that we're going to talk about in a minute. Other programs right here on the Motherland Media, on the Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, not right after my program, but Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds. All times are going to give are Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. right there following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365. From 8 to 9 p.m. Tuesdays, yesterday, Dr. William Rogers had an excellent show. He always does. Good topics, good guests, good discussion. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Wednesdays, this evening, 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive. Friday, if it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Oh, you know it, that ain't me. It has to be Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, and her program on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive. Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, where you can call and give us your comments, questions, concerns, or just your African perspective. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It is, you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses on WeBuyBlack.com. Everything that they sell is produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. And, of course, they're going to have a convention in November 16th and 17th. right here in the Atlanta area, metropolitan Atlanta area, at the Cobb Galleria Mall. Go online to WeBuyBlack.com to get the particulars, and hopefully maybe you're in town or you live here and you can participate in the We Buy Black convention. Books. We need to read. We need to read. I've always advocated the at least three bookstores here in the Atlanta area. Hopefully there are bookstores in your area. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of bookstores, particularly American African bookstores, anymore. And they've gone out of business because of lack of patronage. Some maybe needed to do some changes within how they operate. But be it as it is, we have three here in the Atlanta area. One is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End on Dr. Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Shrine of the Black Madonna, they have books, they have furniture, they have clothing, they have art, they have figurines, they have the red, black, and green shoes. And of course, if they don't have what you're looking for, believe me, they'll try to make sure they order to get it for you. Another bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall as well, and that's the Meddu Bookstore, right by the food court in the Greenbrier Mall, the Meddu Bookstore. Meddu, which means writings. It's the word that goes after it is Netcher, Meddu Netcher, the writings of the gods at the Meddu Bookstore. And then there's my brother, Brother Jamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The phone number to call is 404-519-8107. Give him a call. Find out if he has the book you got. And go, no, drive down to Lithonia. Check him out. The address is 6984 Main Street, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. Check him out, because you know why? There is light in the Black Dot. My brother does a good job. And he, of course, has the NASGAS shoes, red, black, and green. He has bought me some slides the other day. I really appreciate it. And he said he's got the white one. So I'm going to, when I get back from L.A. this weekend, I'm going to take him up on that. So definitely going to do that. Cafe Ulu. Ulu, us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Check Ulu out tomorrow. They broadcast. They're on Blog Talk. But tomorrow they broadcast at 9 p.m. 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Check out Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative of our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road, is open every day on Mondays from 11 to 7, Tuesdays through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7, Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. We have coffee. Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Brazilian, Panamanian. We have coffee and loose teas and pastries and wraps and paninis. I'm telling you, check us out. 2036 Sylvan Road, Cafe Ulu. But more importantly, join us. Be a part of the co-op. Go online to CAFEULU.com and purchase some coffee. So get some of that Cameroon Boyo, which is to me a very good coffee. In fact, I'm going to get some today. Got to. They sell ambrosia. Ambrosia, the food, the drink of the gods. Brother, my good brother, Brother Novak Young, Ambrosia, you can check him out on his website, CompleteOneBeauty.com, CompleteOneBeauty.com, with information about the drink, the Vitality drink. You can give him a call. He can order some, 678. Of course, we sell it at Cafe Ulu. That's why I'm promoting it. We sell it at Cafe Ulu. But you can contact him, and you can get more and cut a deal or something. I ain't saying, you know, tell him Brother Oshi sent you and cut you a deal, you know. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, you know, what's interesting, we pay for some things and we pay dearly. Some other things that we should not have a problem, particularly amongst us. We want a deal. 678-508-7254. 678-508-7254. And that's my good brother. So the Vitality drink is called Ambrosia. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic sugarcane, and chlorophyll. But some of the drinks have more stuff in them because they have hibiscus, ginger, turmeric, chlorophyll, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and saponaria. I got to get that. I'm going to get it, you know. But that's the detox and alleviate sinus problems. So, I mean, these drinks are good for you. These are Vitality drinks. They are good for you. My good brother, Brother Tahembe. Brother Tahembe is taking some brothers and sisters to the motherland again. Brother Tahembe, Africa for the Africans, November 16th through the 26th, less than $3,000. There is still room. By the time last time I talked to him, you would give Brother Tahembe, Brother Bomani Tahembe, a call at 404-931-9429. He's going to have you fly into Accra. You fly into Accra. You spend 3 days in Accra. You spend 3 days in Kumasi. Then you spend 3 days in Cape Coast. And then you come on home, but you get a chance to see for yourself. Check out his website, AfricanForTheAfricans.org, AfricansForTheAfricans.org, or you can check out photos from previous tours. Even the most recent tours was May of this year, at facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. You can check out videos, youtube.com/Bomani 2007. So check it out. Chemetamorphosis. Chemetamorphosis Conference. As I said, I went to hear Brother Anthony Browder, his presentation on the excavation, the Asa Hilliard excavation project, the restoration project that is the conference. This conference will celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Asa Restoration Project, the first American-African funded archaeological excavation in Kemet. And because of what they found, this is the 25th dynasty, a Nubian. And based upon all the stuff I've seen, the slides he had, and of course everybody talking about it, it is dynamic. It is going to be dynamic. So check it out. Metamorphosis. The Chemetamorphosis Conference, December 7th through the 9th in Washington, D.C. 7th through the 9th in Washington, D.C. Also, too, here in Atlanta, next weekend is the African Heritage Study Association 49th Annual Conference right here in Atlanta. It's going to be at Clark Atlanta in the same place that they had the Anthony Browder the other day in the Woodruff Library on the campus of Clark Atlanta, or the Atlanta University System, Clark Atlanta, Morehouse, Spelman, and so forth, but on the Clark Atlanta side. And I don't have a registration, but I do have, I thought I had a number too to call. You know, they just sent this out like this, and they don't have a lot of the good details. They do have a lineup on Thursdays, next week Thursday, the registration, the opening from Waset to Wakanda, and that's Anthony Browder in the ASA project. He's opening up at 10 a.m., talking about from Waset to Wakanda. The conference plenary and breakouts, town hall meeting that night, report back on the international decade of people of African descent from 2015 to 2024, distinguished panel. Then on Friday, plenary sessions and a reception at evening. And then Saturday, same thing, plenary and closing session. And there's a luncheon, too, to honor the elders. So, and Dr. Daniel Black will be presiding. That's the only information I have on it, but check it out. It's going to be, I definitely will plan to be there next week, Thursday, for that event. Can't do too much on a Friday, especially Friday morning, because I can't get anywhere until after I do this, because of my commitment to doing this. So it is a Wednesday, and on Wednesday, you know, I do have somebody I hold with high regard, and that is Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix, the Black People Matrix. Brother Franklin Jones, how are you?
Fine, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing well.
It's always a pleasure to be in your grace. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. It's an honor. It's an honor. And I thank you very much for having me.
Well,
and I hope you continue to have me.
I appreciate it, too. I appreciate what you bring and, you know, your perspectives on the... Because, I mean, you know, once again, this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. You cannot achieve those things without changing your mind, changing the way you think, changing your outlook, changing your perspective, changing your paradigm. You cannot do that. You cannot achieve that without that, and that's what this program on Wednesday is all about. And sometimes I know how me and you do. We talk, and we'll talk, and we'll say, yeah, let's do this, let's do that. And next thing you know, man, you take it to another, and I take it to another, and bam, there we go again.
Yeah.
But we're always in we're always in accordance, aren't we? We're always on that same wavelength.
Brother. Yes. Yes, my brother. We're always in the same core vein.
That's right.
And regardless of what you just said,
yeah.
I believe it was Brother Nellie Fuller who said, until we overcome the monopoly the oppressors have over our minds, that our liberations will be damn near impossible.
Yep.
So
it is unthinkable.
In that same vein.
Yeah.
Huh?
It is unthinkable because what you can't conceive, you can't achieve. You can't even think about some. You know, one of my favorite documentaries is Wattstack. Mm-hmm. You know, love Wattstack. I really do. Richard Pryor and the brothers that put it on. When Brothers and Sisters went out to L.A. in 1972 after the 67 riot in Watts to put on a concert to benefit them. But they did some – I mean, it's very – this documentary was done by us, and it's very well done. So you should go to YouTube and check it out or go to the library and get it. But anyway, there's a part in there where they're, you know, interviewing brothers and sisters, you know, in different settings. In fact, one of them is Ted Lang. He's in the restaurant eating with his other brother who was on Willie DeWino, who used to be on Sanford and Son. And this is before they became that. But anyway, there's a breakoff part where his brother is sitting down. He says, you know, I've been down so long that getting up don't even cross my mind. I'm like, damn, that's deep. I've been down so long. He's been beat down so damn long that the thought just can't even cross my mind. I resign my mind to the condition that I am in, and that's sad.
I love that, bro.
Yeah, because to me, every day is a battle. You are bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inferiority or your inability, and what you do and how you overcome that is that every day that I get up, I thank God that I'm African. I thank God that where I am in my health and my mental health, and I look at what is happening and I look at it from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective.
I'll ask you, brother, repeat what you said. You know, I love words, but there's power in words. Go back to what you said. Repeat that thing you said about, I've been put down so long, I resigned my mind. Say the whole thing again. Please.
Okay. Brother said, I've been down so long that getting up don't even cross my mind. That's how deep I've been in the depths. I've been down so long. And you know, it's just like when people think that our people acquiesced in our captivity and thought that we were just, but you know, what else could we do?
Yeah.
You know? So many of us just, I mean, no, we didn't. We weren't the image that the cracker wants to portray us as, happy-go-lucky and singing and dancing and buck dancing. No, we weren't that. But we were biding our time. Because I say, and I will always say, we were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We resisted. We fought. And we fight today. But there's something that, there's a documentary that is on the horizon. It's coming out. In fact, it's going to be in Philadelphia tomorrow, I believe, listening to Time for an Awakening. Didn't catch the program Friday, Sunday until late. And so when I found out what it was about, I went back into Time for an Awakening, and you can do that as well to get any previous programs. You can get my previous programs, you know. And so I listened to it, and it's Jason Black. Jason Black does documentaries, and he was saying he wasn't going to do nothing. But then when Donald Trump won and some of the things he said and some of the things that have been happening since, he said, I got to do this documentary. It's called Race War. Race War. Mm-hmm. And it's coming out. There's a number of good people that are on it. And I have two trailers that I want to play. And this will ignite our conversation today, Brother Frank. Truly, I can't wait to see it in full. But the reality is, you know, regardless of documentary or anything else, we have been warred upon. We have been warred upon. And we must understand the dynamics of that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play the first trailer, and then we're going to play the second trailer right after. This is Race War, documentary produced by Jason Black.
I was on the Los Angeles Police Department for 20 years. I was a sergeant of police when I retired. I'm well aware that there are officers within that agency that have biases and preconceived ideas. So no, I'm not surprised to know that somehow white supremacists have infiltrated the ranks of police departments around the nation.
Race and war. There is a conflict.
We're talking about a system, the phenomenal mass incarceration, the police killings. This is a recipe, many people argue, and I think it's true, for a new form of genocide.
The fact that it's always white people at the top and black people at the bottom, that's not some kind of psychic phenomena. That's policy. Those are the consequence of the race war against black people.
Are we in a race war?
All right, I have an opinion on that whole subject.
You know, there's no equality. We look at the system, it's really designed for us to fail.
Are you a white supremacist?
I'm absolutely not a white supremacist. I think that's a word that should be retired. I am a white advocate and a race realist.
When I say this as a police officer, that this stuff happens, I'm not telling the black community something they don't know. I'm just validating and corroborating what they know to be true because this is their lived experience.
A lot of people like to refer to our judicial system as broken. Our judicial system is not broken. It's operating exactly the way it was designed to operate.
This nation was established by Europeans with the idea that it was going to be an extension of Europe. So whites, whether they will admit it or not, don't like the fact that their neighborhoods, their institutions are becoming increasingly non-white.
White supremacy has to do with the idea that I'm better than you. And I can, through power, through manipulation, control anything and everything as it relates to anyone else. I am God.
We'll check out the second trailer. Then right after that, we'll get off into the discussion. You can join that discussion by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832.
Great things can only come out of struggle. There must be pain, there must be strife in order for something beautiful to be produced. I care about my people and our future just like you care about your people and your future. I understand where you're coming from, and you need to understand where I'm coming from. It's better to win than it is to be morally right. It is much better to have power and to pursue one's ends. That is, the beauty and flourishing of the white race is an end in itself.
People of European descent have been at war with themselves since they lived in the ice. The idea of a race war, it's here.
Non-white people say that white people are conducting a race war against them? This is absurd.
Say again.
The race war against black people has been going on ever since we've been in this country.
It's almost as if law enforcement officers killing black men, unarmed black men, non-aggressive black men who are not threats, is legal at this point.
My position is basically that there is already in place a white supremacist ruling class, that they want to have straight up and clear white supremacist domination.
I think we should have more white privilege. White privilege, no question, exists. I think we should intensify it. We should have more of it.
What we're seeing now with this current administration is just what white folks been thinking all along. They just got somebody in a place of power who will say what they think.
For those that are living that type of life, this is the only path.
If white people continue at their same rate, if they encourage non-white immigration, if they dare not speak out against interracial marriage, then whites will disappear.
It's not a race war that's developing. It's been there. We've just been blind.
The history of the world really is the history of the white race. Who's going to win this race war? We are going to win.
There you have it, the two trailers for the upcoming documentary, Race War, by Jason Black. He also has another documentary out. If you go online, you go to YouTube, Gentrify. He talks about gentrification. I think he has an earlier one as well. But we're going to focus in on this and talk about what they say is the upcoming race war. So what do you think, Brother Frank?
It's profound. I think I'm definitely going to order that that DVD when it comes out. It really sounds interesting. It's in the same heart band of what we talk about. I think it's important because, as I always say, many of us, when we think about race, then we think about the Klansmen. But when you recognize there's a system in place and we're constantly being attacked by the system, we have to recognize that. And it's something you say. You always drop these nuggets that are so profound, and I love that. You said, "What you can't conceive, you can't overcome."
Right. No.
And that is so true. Right. Right. You have to understand it, conceive it. That's the only way we can overcome it.
Right. Because what that says is that what you can't conceive, if you can't visualize, if you can't, then you will never achieve it. What you can't conceive, you will never achieve because you don't have the vision, you don't have the sight, you don't believe that we can be self-sustaining, that we could be independent, that we could be sovereign. Mm-hmm. So we'll never achieve it in that respect. But I say, just like in this situation here, no, there's not in a instance of a race war and you put it out there and you think that us will be fighting against Europeans. No. No, y'all.
Yeah.
Because, number one, that is suicidal. We cannot go up against the United States, and that's who it is. It's not it's not those tiki torch khaki-wearing crackers that we saw last year in Charlottesville. We ain't talking about that. And when you say the word white supremacist, we ain't talking about them. We ain't talking about neo-Nazis and skinheads and Klan. No, because the white
supremacist.
Right. Because the white supremacist is the president, is Congress, is the judiciary.
Yes.
You know, it's governors, state legislators, mayors, council people, Europeans, Caucasians. They are.
Yes.
That's the mentality that they have been given. Just like Brother Caban said, He said that Caucasians have been fighting amongst themselves. Understand something, and I've said this many times on this program, trying to give an understanding and a perspective of human development of Caucasians, how they developed in an environment that is harsh, unyielding, unforgiving, cold, scary, resource scarce, causes you to be selfish, greedy, you know, and that's them. And so they have been fighting amongst themselves, because if you made a kill and one of them crackers saw you and you're trying to drag it into your cave, they'll jump you, kill you, and snatch your kill. Just like what they did on cartoons when you saw cavemen, Neanderthal cartoons, you see the Caucasian bop the woman upside the head and drag her into the cave, you know?
Yeah.
And also, too, why the cracker female does not challenge the male? Because of fear. She realized, I can't go out there. You misusing me, talking this way or bad about me, physically abusing me and so forth. I just can't leave. I can't go out there into that cold, into that darkness, animals and so forth, and fend for myself. I got to capitulate. I got to acquiesce. I got to take this. But not in Africa. Because that's why the relationship between men and women, that was one thing that when in my studies, you know, that I realized how when the European came into Kemet, they didn't understand the beautiful symbiotic relationship between men and women and family, because they didn't have that in Europe, especially in Greece. Hell, in Greece, they had, that's the advent, as far as I'm concerned. And I said this, Brother Frank, I was talking to a group at a college, a women's college. And I was talking about the Greeks. I can't remember what topic they wanted me to talk on, but I said that, you know, the Greek culture is the formation of homosexuality.
Yes.
You know, and that in that, young boys and pedophilia, because that's like just like mentor.
Yes,
mentor. That's why we shouldn't use that word when we're talking about dealing with our young men. Mentoring. Wow. No, we should call them what we should call them in African word, jegna. A jegna is a person who guides young people.
Yes.
Mentor was a character who had Ulysses, his son, and was, you know, doing his son. And you can see statues of men with young boys. You can see statues of men with men embracing.
Yeah, I know.
This alienated and turned the women off, and the women went to the island of Lesbo.
Yeah.
Where you get the word lesbian. This is the history. So what we're saying in respect is that Europeans, wherever they did and wherever they went, they were destructive. They never went. They have a war culture. They have a rape culture. And wherever they went, they brought that culture with them. Wherever they did and wherever they went, it was to the detriment of whoever they encountered. They never came with good intentions. They never came and said, you know, we're crowded where we are. We would love if you could share with us, and we have gifts that we could share with you. Da, da, da. No, that's not them. They imposed themselves on others, and they eliminated others. You see? And so, to me, in that respect, though, Brother Frank, this thing about a race war, number one, there is no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. Europeans came up with the idea and the concept of race. You can trace it back to two individuals, particularly Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. They came up with talking about the stratification of Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position with us at the lowest position. You see? So there's no such thing as race. But it's cultures. They impose their culture on us. This is a cultural war. And what we don't understand is we've been battling and fighting to be a part of their culture, to have them accept us. Please let me go to your schools. Please let me live in your neighborhood. Please hire me. Please promote me. Please, 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 please. And what do you get when you beg? You get crumbs.
Nothing.
You know? And that's what they've been giving us.
Yeah.
Nothing but damn crumbs. You know?
Yes.
So, I mean, I can't wait for this documentary to come out and to really go into discussion about it. And I'm quite sure Dr. Rogers will be doing the same, as well as Elliot. And
there was a statement said in the piece you played, and the white man said, it's not about being morally correct. We don't care about being morally correct. It's about holding on to power.
Right.
And it's true that they don't do things in regard to who was morally correct. They exploit their power. An example that we recently witnessed, when you watch the strife between the Republicans and the Democrats over the Kavanaugh thing, the Republicans didn't give a damn about the immoral implications. They didn't give a damn about what Kavanaugh done. They look at the fact that they were in a position of power, and they said, regardless of what the Democrats were saying, we're going to do what we want to
right.
do. And although I'm always the person who've always said that the Democrats and the Republicans are both wings of the same bird, I understand that. What I'm saying is, what we're seeing through that analysis, when we watch what happened, how those in power are treating the other side, that's how collectively the white, as a whole, white society treats black people. They don't give a damn about what is correct. It's about their power.
Right.
I mean, look, for example, how long we have been protesting the killing of black people by police officers. Have the white institution done anything about it? Said anything about it?
No.
It's called benign neglect.
Mm-hmm.
They just freaking ignore us. They create distraction. And we've been complaining about black men being black people, women, children, men being routinely killed, but those in power don't care about what's morally correct.
No, they have no morals. They're amoral. Yeah. They have no morals. And when you mention that word benign neglect, it reminds me of the Kerner Commission, you know, back in the early 60s, when that commissioned, I think LBJ commissioned that.
Yes.
And when it came out, they didn't release the whole report because they knew that, it was something that was very detrimental, because they knew, and in fact, it was stated that America is moving towards two nations, separate and unequal. You know, it's just like one of the Caucasians. I have very few Caucasians that I've read, but one of them is Andrew Hacker. And the other one is Michael Bradley's book, Iceman's Inheritance, because I wanted to understand, just like Francis Cress Welsing helped me understand, and truly my dear friend Marimba Ani helped me understand this cracker, you know, from our perspective. And in Michael Bradley's book, The Iceman's Inheritance, he talks about their human development. In fact, the book is subtitled Europeans' Sexist, Racist, and Greedy Nature, you know, because of how they developed, you know, how they came up. And that commission report stated that, you know, they're moving in this direction. They offered some remedies, but they didn't happen. And in Andrew Hacker's books, Two Nations, Separate, Hostile, and Unequal, he chronicles and states that Caucasians know, but they suppress that knowledge of how they are and who they are and what they have done. They know. They just want to play naive and thought a narrative that what they have done was a benefit for the world. What they have done is a benefit for this country. They want to throw that we're good people. It's just like what Robin DiAngelo does in her workshops with Caucasians. And it comes out that these Caucasians can't handle the truth. They cannot handle the truth because they want to believe that they are good moral people. They want to believe the religion that they gave the world is good for the salvation of the world. You know, they don't want to believe that they're lying, cheating, stealing, undermining, backstabbing, no good son of a bitches. They don't want to believe the truth because they can't handle it.
Allow me to interject.
Please.
I agree. When you talk about the Kerner Commission, it was in 1968, when the Kerner Commission came back with a scathing report, said that America was being divided into two countries, like an apartheid system, one striving and one struggling. And they said the only way to change this situation is to create job programs and educational programs to educate African Americans, provide jobs, to sort of level the playing field. But what's the president's name? Lyndon B. Johnson rejected the findings. He rejected the findings.
Yes.
So, so it showed how the problem can be rectified. So they also determined, the current report determined that the problem of the unprecedented black revolt, the black protest that caused destabilized this American society and eroded America's global image was caused by blatant white racism. That's officially said, blatant white racism. So rather than creating a system where things change, the Lyndon Johnson, they created a new system. And we are part of that new system. So the reason why they we say they always put a toxic by themselves, because they realized, because during the 1960s, African-Americans also received lots of global support.
Right.
That this is why Dr. King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. When that happened, this totally embarrassed the United States, the U.S. government. The U.S. government was embarrassed, and its image was eroded, and its standing in the world was eroded. So they realized to continue their mistreatment of black people, first of all of the U.S. government professes equality for all citizens. At its core, it is secretly, unrelentingly committed to the preservation of its white dominance. Therefore, if the U.S. government treated its black population in a manner that did not aid it in protecting its white dominance, the U.S. government would then be diametrically opposing its own self-interest. This is a reality that they don't talk about.
Right.
So they realized to continue their mistreatment of black people, they called in social engineering science and propaganda experts. So what they did was they created an image about black people. They started portraying black people as a face of crime, the degradation. Mm-hmm. And what this campaign did, it created what's called a shifting of victimization. Mm. It shifted the victimization away from black people onto white people. So therefore, it created a consensual setting where black people are mistreated. Now the world community says nothing that black people are routinely killed, disproportionately incarcerated, because the perception has become that it's all justifiable.
Exactly.
This is why when people come to this country, foreigners, they often come to this country looking down upon African Americans,
mm-hmm.
because the propaganda is being spread around the world.
That's right.
The image of black people in America has been vilified and criminalized and dehumanized. And the reason why narratives about them never prevail, because they protect their image. And they always start narratives that support them,
and
because society does not function based upon reality. Societies function based upon the prevailing narrative. We mm-hmm. function off of those narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they continue to put out narratives that support their agenda.
That's right. We have a caller. We're going to take this caller. 404-453. Good afternoon or good morning still. 404-453. Okay, well, you can stay right there. We got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's why this morning when I was out, the local radio station, W8OK, 1380, and the brother who's on in the morning, Dr. F. Keith Slaughter, was talking about power. And I was trying to jump in because he was talking about, you know, empowering us and all that. And you know, I would never forget hearing the word power and what it really means. And to me, the most definitive definition is Dr. Wade Nobles, the clinical psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I remember him saying this so many years ago, and it stuck with me. It's, you know, because power is not information and education. If the information and education that you receive is flawed and inaccurate, and for us it truly is, because it's coming from somebody else's narrative, you can't get power from that. Power is not voting or politics, because a lot of times in politics or politics in this system, it's backdoors, quid pro quos, all kinds of shenanigans and chicanery and all kinds of bull, you know. So politics is not power. Money. Somebody said money is power. No, money is not power. Because what is the money backed up on? The money is backed up by only the government's word. No, no real power from that. Power, this is what power is. Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality, shaped and fashioned it in their image and in their interest. And we have accepted their definition as if it's our own.
My brother, say that again. Please say that again. You know? I know you, I'm with words. I want others to hear what you just say. Say that. Repeat what you just said.
Power is none of those things that people say power is. Power is this. Power is the ability to define reality and then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. They shaped and fashioned it in their image and in their interest. And the question that we need to ask ourselves as a people is, who are we in their reality? Who are we in Caucasia's reality? Well, first, we were the soulless people with no culture to speak of, justifying our enslavement. And you even have some of us damn fools saying, oh, I'm really glad white folks enslaved us. Otherwise, I'd be in Africa worshiping a tree. I'm really glad that they did this to us.
Let me interject. Exactly. White society creates narratives that serve their agenda, that serve their interests, and then they impose those narratives upon us.
That's right.
This is why we have black people walking around saying what you just said. Oh, I'm so glad for slavery, because the narrative, the version of slavery that we're hearing, that we've learned, comes from white. It's the reason why we have black people walk around saying we are our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
Because the narrative that they know comes from white.
See, look at how, look at how they done it though, Brother Frank and listeners. You know, first that was the narrative, that we was justifying our enslavement because we were backwards and no culture to speak of.
Yes.
And then, you know, we were the image of us was some happy-go-lucky, you know, the images of us singing and buck dancing, almost saying like, damn, we're so glad that we're doing this, that we're so glad that we're in servitude to these people, all these great. And then they gave us a religion too. Oh, thank God. Thank Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then now what is the image today? Just like you said earlier, we're thugs, we're drug addicts, we're drug dealers, are no fit fathers, no fit mothers.
Yes.
You know, so
white
listen,
people control our image, and the identity of people is greatly influenced by how they see themselves repeatedly depicted in the media. Many of our people become those characters that they accept as being their reality. And the black image in the media is controlled by white people.
That's right.
And many of our people say, oh, that's us. That's us. That's how we be. That's how we act. No, you are emulating. So many people think that the media reflects our reality.
Right.
But in truth, it is most often we that imitate what we see in the media.
Right. That's why I have such a problem with rappers. That's why I had that problem, because they don't understand that what has been imposed upon you. I just speak about what I see, and then you talk about the worst things. You talk about the digging.
Ignorance has been exploited. Most rappers, let's say they come from the hood, they come from struggle and they grind, and they're not educated. I mean, the modern population aren't aware of social engineering. So the black guy goes and they want that money, wants that check, and he starts.
But see,
he becomes a part of his own demise, his own community.
Because the Caucasian co-opted the hip hop movement. The Caucasian co-opted rap, conscious rap, KRS-One, X-Clan, NWA. Then of course, gave it to the gangster.
Yes.
Turned it over to the gangster and the vilifying our women and so forth. But listen,
I'll give you
Brother
example.
Frank,
listen, always did it. When they see a movement growing, here's what they do. Once the hip hop movement was growing, and the white man assessed how that movement can affect the white dominant society. So what they did was, rather than try to stifle it and fight it, they went and took control of it, and then they steered the movement to serve their interests. So that's why they took control of it. And lots of rappers will tell you that they're told, and they said keep it authentic. They're told to keep it edgy. They use the term edgy. They want you to put niggers. They want you to put bitches.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when T.I. a couple of years ago tried to put out a cleaner version of his music, he was told by the industry that they would not support his record unless he goes back to the original stuff of the N-word and the cursing. He publicly said it. And there are other rappers that experienced the same thing. They went and they took control of the hip hop industry, and they used it to negatively scare up
right
people who have been stripped of their culture, their identity, and who they truly are the easiest victim of media social engineering. We call ourselves niggas because the white man's hard to us through media
right.
social engineering. We have our women call themselves bees and hoes because it was our image was taken over by someone else, and we saw those images, you know, and we started doing it. I remember in the 1968, 70s movie,
yeah.
you watching Superfly,
right.
you watching
right.
Dolomite,
right.
and you said, oh, that's how we act.
That's right.
That's
we
how
changed
we act.
Over.
We call
mm-hmm.
ourselves niggers.
Yeah. Well, listen,
and
we're going to take a break.
Into that, and we were being socialized through the media to call ourselves, and we believe that this is how black men walk. This is how black
exactly.
men talk.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break. We have some callers hanging on, so you hang on out there, Brother Paul, Brother Marcus, and all you other brothers and sisters out there. I'm glad that you're listening. Glad you want to contribute. We're going to do that on the other side. We're going to be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay right here with us in this lively conversation about race wars.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah. This is Girl Shot Blast, and I'm back in the building. Ah, hey, hey.
Now don't you like that? If you like that,
hey.
Ready to fight back, ready to fight back.
Hey.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people, the power strike back.
They cheated, saw the juice, we believe it.
Yeah.
If the crook was a cook, we never look, we just eat it. Got us like paraplegics, frozen stiff and depleted. Body bagged by the waist, our history we repeat it. Yeah, they don't like the Kennedys, we all public enemies. The program satanic, tapping into our energies. They want super soaker, call themselves black and noble. Their position is global, so our transition is vocal. It all start with the churches, killer bees be the workers. Missionaries, they carry the wickedness to usurpers. They all hate us and bait us, their name is educated. Religions intimidated, so we worship and invaders. They agree to embed it. Bloodline is pathetic. Loyalty to the royalty, second cousins are wedded. Guillotine to behead them. Yes, the queen has said it. Elohim's the legend. The way your sisters are brethren.
How do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back.
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people, the power strike back.
Giants awaken, can't you feel the earth shaking? We arousing 1,144 acres. No, we ain't paper chasers, more like movers and shakers. Bringing the sentence with vengeance to Mother Earth on a cake. From niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers. When they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the samplers. Unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas. Your televisions and cameras, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming the moment. Ain't recognizing your third eye is your second coming.
I know you like that.
Yeah,
we like that. Ready to fight back, ready to fight back. But they don't like that, no, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Look for Houdini, I study Kundalini, raising up through my vertebrae till I seen the genie. So if your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen. 144,000 around, the spell has been broken.
Shout bless.
Yes.
Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present day system?
We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new God. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you.
So power be in my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise, the wise of the needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie. I know you like that, yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back, ready to fight back. But they don't like that, no, they don't like that.
We lost in confusion, believe in illusion, so no revolution could take place till you erase the false face that you embrace. Carrying loads of dead weight, we displace all over this earth cursed with hate. Still bowing down to masters who burn and castrate. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, but intertwined, can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox. The soul seeker, astro signs, we be the clock, the age. Up for worry, the moon shifts and rise.
So you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back, ready to fight back. But they don't like that, no, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah,
so you like that? Brothers and sisters,
like that. Ready to
it
fight
is definitely
back,
the time
fight back.
You will recognize
like
what stage
that.
We're in.
Like that.
But we are definitely in the last day.
Yeah.
They're plotting against us, they're trying to take us down. But you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have another plan. I'm calling on the ancestors. The ancestors. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's black science.
Now do you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm glad to be here in a great program. Let me give you the rundown on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, after my program, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 on Monday. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Revive with Sister POC on Wednesdays. Let me try to do something here because we got a little background noise. And so we're going to bring you back in, because if you want to talk, I surely do want to talk to you. I want to hear what you got to say. On Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank. Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. And then on Fridays from 8 p.m. until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. to 10, Time for an Awakening. And, of course, you can call those programs and give your questions, comments, or concerns or your African perspective by dialing 215-490-9832. I'm here every Wednesday with my co-hosts and guests, my co-hosts, Brother Franklin Jones. Brother Frank, how you doing?
Fantastic, my brother. It's always, as I say, it's always an honor being here. Yeah. And
I think you
provide a service to our people.
I try every Monday, Wednesday, be consistent, trying to put something on our minds. But let me get this information out for our people, for Brother Paul, and that is Dr. Rinoka Rashidi will be this Friday, the 19th, 6:30, at the African Center, 66 Great Suffolk Street in London, UK. Brother Brinoco Rashidi will be in UK this Friday, 6:30 p.m., the African Center, 66 Great Suffolk Street in London, in the UK. And I hope you can check him out. And also, too, if you do, if you have a chance to say something to him, tell him I said, what up? Tell Renoco, my brother. I said, well, in fact, I'm going to be in L.A. this weekend. He's going to be in London. That's too bad. Last time I was in L.A. last year, I had a chance to kick it with him. It's always good to see my good brother and all those warrior scholars. And that's truly what he is, a warrior scholar. We're going to take some calls, okay, Brother Frank? Brother Marcus,
all right.
Go ahead, 602. Go ahead, Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Oshie and Brother Frank Jones, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, this the white woman, you know, she has some fault too, you know, because she is the one that nurture the white baby. She teaches that baby how to hate, you know? These people, they are anti-life, they are anti-nature. But, you see, the white man, he's a dying tiger. But the dying tiger is the most dangerous animal in the jungle because he knows he's dying. And he's going to try to take as much people with him on his journey to death. So we're really in a precarious position, you know. We need to withdraw ourselves from these people. And as you guys, your brothers were talking earlier, you said how they teach us to hate each other. I remember when I was coming from Jamaica here, and we went to the embassy. And it was a brother who was the officer, whatever, yeah. Consulate officer or whatever. And he told us, he said, look, he said, those black people in America, stay away from them. They are lazy and shiftless. Now, this is a brother telling us this, you know. You see, telling us this. So they program your mind from you, you know, before we even get here. Because then, and they use our own people to tell us that foolishness. See? So I remember my parents, they came with that mentality. You see, they say, oh, you see, them black people, they're lazy. You see, and they, being that they put the black people in that condition here, so when you come now, you see the black people in this condition, you say, oh, yes, look, they're lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to do this. You see, not knowing the history of the people, because they don't tell us your history here in America, in Jamaica. Now. They don't tell us nothing about it. You know, so we come here with this mentality. Oh, they're lazy. Oh, they don't want to work. Oh, you know, and look, the black man in America, he ain't working no more. You see, because he don't work for 250 years, and what he got, he ain't got. You know, he ain't got nothing.
That's
so
right.
He said, "Why the hell I want to work some more for?" You know what I'm saying? So he sit there watching you breaking your back. And it takes you 30 years to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And at the end of your surgery, you have nothing to. So, you know what I'm saying? So they got our head twisted around. But I believe our people, we're going to win this struggle. Because,
oh, yeah.
As I said, we have increased our population since we've been here, in spite of the condition. And they are on the decline.
That's
so
right.
So we just have to keep on keeping on. You good brothers, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Peace to you. Thank you so
very
much.
Food. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. We have another call. We have another call. 678. Dr. Roger, 678. How you doing,
Good
Doc?
Afternoon, brothers. How you doing, Brother Franklin and Brother Oshie? How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine,
thank
Doc
you,
Rogers.
Brother.
Thank you.
Good. That's great. That's great. This is I've been listening since the beginning. This is an extremely powerful, energizing conversation. Really, it makes you, what it does for me, it makes me really go back and think deeply about what we are really saying and what it really means and the potential of what we're saying. And so I've been doing that, and I mean, it's a wonderful experience, but sometimes it gets a little scary. And so when Brother Marcus came on just now, that gave me a little bit of hope, because I was kind of getting a little worried that I think we're looking at this thing the wrong way, But when he said we can win this thing, I said, okay, yeah, you're right, Brother Mark. Mm-hmm. We can win this thing.
Oh, yeah.
But let me say something that one of the things that I understand, and I think we're saying this. Number one, there's a couple of really foundational things that I think we got to take more into our discussion and into our understanding about things. And that's this. One of the things is that we talk about we are at war with an enemy. And so while you were talking, I went and just kind of looked at the definition of what a war is. And in all elements of that definition, it's very clear that a war is two people, two systems warring against each other. They're both fighting at each other. I don't see us doing that. We are not fighting Europeans. We are not fighting who we're doing the enemy. We're at war, I mean, being warred upon, but we are not warring.
Right. I think that's the proper terminology.
You're right. I guess the proper term would be they're waging war against us.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
It's kind of like, look at it like this. I play chess or in checkers. You sit down at a chessboard. You're on one side of the board, and I'm on the other side of the board. And so all of a sudden, you start moving your pieces. And then I don't move anything. And then I say, go on and move again. And you move some more pieces. And I sit there for an hour and never move a piece. I'm at the board. I'm there to fight you over on a chess game, but I'm not moving any pieces.
That's a good analogy, Doc.
I'm just sitting there looking at you.
Yeah.
Is that war? Am I playing chess?
No.
And then I go tell somebody, oh, I played chess the other day. No, you didn't. You sat at the board and watched somebody play against you. And that's what we're doing. And I don't see us at war. Now, I think that there are some ideas, like, for instance, Time for an Awakening, ASCAC, NBOP, and all of these organizations are doing some of the intellectual kind of warfare stuff. But eventually, at some point, it has to get physical because it's physical against us. So we have the intellectual strategy ideas, but there's no method or system to implement. And then number two, the other part is that we have to look at if we're going to say we're going to war, then if you say we are going to use weapons and we are going to go to war, and I'm not always talking physical weapons, there are other forms of warfare as well, and that's the deal. War is just not about bullets and guns. They don't wage war in the world just on bullets and guns and spears and swords. It's done in other ways because of the fact that the human animal responds to stimuli. We move based on stimuli. And I can give you a smell or give you a taste or give you some hearing or sight and cause you to disrupt your whole self. Like they do, for instance, when I take a bag of flavoring and have you put 3 cups of sugar in there and you drink it and it's sweet and you say, oh, this is the best thing I ever had. And you just drink up all that sugar and it's killing you. Or I take salt and put it on potatoes and have you eat them and you get addicted to the salt flavor. And the next thing you know, you're eating salt every day and it's killing you dead. And so the thing is that's some of the ways that we have to look at how you have to fight that war. You have to fight the war on stimuli. We have to fight that war based on, and that's why when you look at evil systems like the Nazis and so forth, Hitler had his scientists studying stimuli. You had people like Pavlov who were testing dogs on taste and smell. And it wasn't
protected.
For the dog, it was to do and implement on people. You had G.F. Skinner having rats run through a box with electric fields across them to see what they would do to go get food. So the point that I'm making then, and I know it's a lot to do, and you can't sit and do it in 2 hours, you can't talk about it in 10 minutes, but I just thought I wanted to interject that.
Please.
Maybe have you all respond to that.
I want to say one thing, what you said, in regards to all the Nazis and the different scientists who worked. America, after World War II, America brought many of those scientists to America.
That's right.
The program was called Operation Paperclip. They brought their social scientists, their propaganda experts, and they took them, gave them amnesty, and they took all those things that the they were training to do over there, and they applied here for how they run this country. So I do agree with you. We're being attacked on all fronts.
And they work for places like McDonald's. They work for Burger King. They work for Kentucky Fried Chicken. They work for the NBA, the NFL. They do all of that stimuli science that is used to put people to sleep while they kill you. And that's what we see being done. And I think we've got to look at it like that.
Yeah.
Like you said, you've got to look at it like that. You cannot just sit back and wait for bullets and guns. That's not going
to
do it.
Yes, I agree. We have to elevate our minds in how we look at white racism. Like Brother Oshie said in the beginning, when he talked about 1968, the Kerner Report, that is a turning point in our history. Because once the Kerner Report showed that the core problem was blatant white racism that caused unprecedented black protests, they recognized they had to attack us through more sophisticated means, by means that are not easily recognized or comprehended by the black masses, because white racism prevails best when the black victims no longer recognize it. True.
There we go. Exactly. And they studied us.
They
did it through the Kerner Report. They did it through the Monahan Report. They did it through... the one they did in the 40s with Eisenhower, American Dilemma, with the Swedish sociologists. They studied us, and they had them look at what is the central point that will make us respond, and what is the stimuli factor that they can use on African people. And so, in closing, and I think you all are definitely on the right track. We got to elevate this conversation somewhere. You know,
you have to.
You got to elevate this.
So stay on, Dr. Rogers.
You're doing it, man. Y'all doing it.
Right on, brother. So stay on with us. We got another call. Let's take this call. 447-447.
Hey, is that me, Brother Oshie?
Hey, Brother Paul. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, birds of a feather must stick together despite the weather. You know, brother?
For sure.
We just have to keep it real, brother. But you mentioned Brother Ranulkh Rashidi. Absolutely great brother, you know?
Yes.
And we must hold that brother in high acclaim, because he's the brother which unites us all.
Yeah.
He's the brother who's putting his life on the line to make the commitment. I've actually met him in Brixton, and you just give me a date. I wasn't aware of that date. But,
right. He's going to be there Friday. He'll be there Friday, the 19th at 6:30 at the African Center, 66 Great Suffolk Street in London.
Now imagine that, right across the sea. You're giving me information of a man who's right here in the town where I live. Yeah, one of your own. And that is the beauty of, this is the realness of our real people, you know, and this is a brother, he's an outstanding brother, he really is, you know, when I've met him, I've talked to him, I've embraced him, and he's a brilliant brother, and this is what we need, Brother Oshie. We need to, these are the real solutions,
because
the end of the day, all the talking, we can do all the talking, theorizing we want to do in the world, but if we don't reach out and shake hands and embrace each other, we have no solutions. We just don't have no solutions.
Well,
trust me on that.
Well, the reality is, and we were discussing, Brother Paul, race war. There's a new documentary coming out. Go online, put in racewarmovie.com, and you can get both trailers. We played those trailers. Doc Rogers, did you get a chance to hear those trailers?
Yes, I did. I did hear it.
Yeah. And there's a number of good people on that he has on there. But, of course, two of the Caucasians that are on there are adamant about, if Brother Franklin said, that the one Caucasian, Richard Spence of the alt-right, said, I don't care about morality. We just want to win. We're going to win. We don't care. They don't. They're amoral. That's why we kept appealing, and as Dr. King did, trying to appeal to them. They don't believe the damn books that they have given us. They don't believe the damn Bible. They don't care about none of that. All they want to do is dominate and control. You know? So I'm going to get this other caller in, because he's been hanging on for a while. 404 Hey,
brother, you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. Whoa, you're sounding pretty bad. Why don't you hang up and call back? That sounds real bad. Yeah, if you can hear me, hang up and call back because that sounds pretty bad. I don't know how it sounds to our listeners. I hope not. But the bottom line is that, and I know what Renoco brings to the table and Anthony Broder, and I love them for what they do because those men, along with Francis Cress Welsing and Marimba Ani, helped shape my concept and my attitude. You know, oh, let's try this out. Okay, you're back on 404-57.
You hear me better now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, look here, man. Everything right, man, but like that Rage War movie.
Yeah.
See, black people don't realize that we at war, man. Most black people, they still doing some stupid checking and diving. I give you the perfect example, man. Why every time somebody white go over to England, I mean, not England, but go over to Africa to see these black people in Africa, they start buck dancing and bringing them in and having a damn party, man. It's 2018, man. When are you going to realize these folks are devils, man?
I hear you,
okay,
Wes.
Get sick of this shit like that. Like when Melania went over there to Africa, them niggas buck dancing and having a party with her, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? These people is devils, man. And the number one way to stop this crap, what I did, I took my money out of Wells Fargo and put my money in the
good
bank, man.
Good.
Truck, man.
Good.
Okay? Once we start, we ain't got to do no hand-to-hand combat. Just take your money and quit celebrating their damn holidays, man. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't celebrate none of their evil-ass holidays, man, because it's all about they are celebrating oppression us, man. Every one of their damn holidays. Okay?
Yeah.
And like the professor said, okay, most black people don't even realize that we at war. And I agree with you. We are prisoners of war, man.
That's right.
I'm sick of these. I'm going to call these stupid niggas buck dancing, man, and having a good time running after a damn ball and partying while these folks killing us on every rim, man.
That's right. All
but
right.
I yield my time to the family, man.
All right. Thanks, brother. Thanks, Brother Wes. Thanks, Brother Wes. Hang on and listen. Brother Frank.
Yeah, you know, a lot of time in the conscious community, we hear a lot of us who are awakened, there's a frustration, and you even heard it in that brother's voice. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to wake up? Damn it. We always see black folks acting silly. When are we going to wake up? But here's the deal. Here's the reality. When you understand psychological warfare, there are millions of us who are woke. But what the white man does, he doesn't show those who are woke. He doesn't spread the ideology of those who are woke. He suppressed them. And those like Kanye West, the buffoonery, he puts that out. So therefore, we are seeing ourselves inaccurately. We are waking up, and he knows it more than most of us do, because he monitors our dialogue. He monitors our posting. He knows we're waking up. But the image of ourselves, he's not going to show us that image. He's always going to show us the image that is designed to keep us demoralized, keep us feeling less about ourselves. The white man studied us. And what he discovered during the 1960s, that when he placed a camera in the face of a black revolutionary like Malcolm X, that it caused Malcolm X standing in the community to grow. It gave him more followings. Even the media did the same thing for Dr. King, made him a national leader. So now the white man does not give pro-black people like ourselves a national audience. He treats us like we're weeds in a garden. Weeds in a garden, you never water it. You want it to die. So when you put media attention upon pro-black liberating people, it amplifies us. It gives us a following. So the white man don't give us a national platform and his controlled media outlet. So those of us who have this frustration, or we're all asleep, we're only buffoonery, we're only cooning. No, that's the image that the white man wants us to see of ourselves. There are millions of black people who are growing. There are millions of black people who are awakening. And they know that, and they fear it. We are truly living in the time of awakening. There are millions of us. Yep.
We got another call. Call 404-573. 404-573.
Yes, good morning, brothers and King.
Hey, Sister Queen, how you doing, Queen Ali? Go ahead, dear.
Yes, yes. Coogee Chocolier, self-determination.
That's right. That's what it should be, that's what it should be all about.
So I hear you speaking about language, and I heard a brother say 30 years ago, whoever controls the language controls the mindset.
Yes.
And so we are at war. We are in a war. We cannot fight with bullets or votes, but we are psychologically at war. And we have to educate and elevate our people, talk to our people, and expose them to the truth as we had to be exposed to the truth. We also have to keep, I believe we have to keep in mind the 500 or more years of the untold story of the encaptured people who they took away everything we knew about ourselves. And we are really just being enlightened once again and taught once again about the games and the trickery that they play on us. So yes, we are becoming awake, and it's time for very timely name of the program, Time for Awakening. So it's time. And I was so glad to hear the brother say, just one sec, minute and I'll be done. That, because I always felt that why when the Africans come here to this wilderness from other countries, they set themselves apart from us and they look at us with a different kind of view. I always felt that because, you know, we're spiritual people, that they don't like us, they don't trust us, they don't want to be around us. But what I say to them is, look, let me tell you one thing. If it wasn't for the 500 years of my forefathers and foremothers working, crying, dying, you wouldn't be here. And guess what? They don't like you either. And they don't teach them. No, I tell them, yes, straight up, they don't like you. And if it wasn't for my forefathers and foremothers, you wouldn't be here. And I'm so glad to hear the brother from Jamaica say it straight out today. They don't teach them the history. They don't teach them our history. They don't teach them their own history, so they don't know us. But yet they live amongst us, and they take the American currency from us. So I was glad to hear someone finally confirm what I have been thinking and feeling for the past 30, 40 years. But I'm giving up my slave name. I'm giving up my slave name, my enslaved name. Like you said, we were never slave people. But I'm giving up my enslaved and my captured name. So I thank you, brothers, for this dialogue today. And we have to keep teaching our people and telling our people. One more thing the brother said. Oh, two more things. I'd like to know where Brother Frank is from and his contact information. This is my first time hearing him.
Go ahead, Brother Frank. Go ahead, Brother Frank.
Yes, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, my sister. You can reach me at, I'm giving you my email. Are you ready to copy?
I am.
It's the Nubian, THANUBIAN 2, the Nubian 2 at yahoo.com. Yes,
number two.
That's correct. That's the Nubian 2 at yahoo.com. And you can also find me on Facebook. You can go to the Black Matrix Reloaded Facebook page. You can message me there. It's called the Black Matrix Reloaded. And I also have another page you can message me on. It's under Freddie Jones. It's Freddie Jones, because I was originally kicked off of Facebook for using with Franklin Jones. So I have another one called Freddie Jones. It's also connected to the sign. So you can reach me on any of those means.
What city are you out of, brother?
Excuse me?
What city? Where are you located?
Atlanta. I live in Atlanta.
Oh, good.
Okay, give your phone number, dude.
Yes.
I don't give my phone over to the. Okay. I'll tell you why I don't get my phone. I've gotten threatened calls. I've gotten threats because of what I do. So I don't put it on the radio, but once we start corresponding, I will give it to you that way, through the email or through Facebook messages. I will give you my number then, but I don't post it because of the threats I get.
Let me ask you a question.
I get threats from white, and I get threats from black Christians. I get threats from black Hebrews.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Of course.
Damn.
Yes. Yes. Would you be willing to come and be a speaker at our Kwanzaa event?
Where are you located?
In Atlanta.
Oh.
Front of the Black Madonna.
Oh, most definitely. Okay, do you have Brother O'Keefe's number?
I do.
You call him, Brother O'Keefe. Give him my number.
Okay, I'll do that.
You have her number?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. One more thing you said about white folks. They are afraid of the truth.
Yes.
And they're not yet ready to face the truth and accept the truth. But we have to keep telling them and teaching them the truth. And the language that they give to our children, it's, you know, it's the same old garbage over and over again.
Yes.
So we have assimilated. We have assimilated, and we have lost, again, our identity.
Yes.
So we have to keep fighting self-determination. And
now, what you just said, what they do to our children, when I was in the military, I was trained in psychological warfare, and they have these books. And it says, for one group to maintain its dominance over the oppressed group, the education given to the oppressed group must be the most least racially affirming. When the oppressed is given a lesser racially affirming education, this assigns them psychologically to accept the dominance of the other group over their lives. It's all by design.
Yes,
all by design. Yes.
What kind of diabolical mind? We know what kind of diabolical mindset we are waging war against.
Yes.
And we cannot stop. The struggle continues, embedded in blackness forever. I'm in this war. I ain't went nowhere, and I ain't going nowhere until it's my time to go. So y'all have inspired me and encouraged me and rejuvenated me. So, you know, let's do this. Peace and love to everyone listening.
Peace, Queen.
Peace, love, my sister. I look forward to hearing from you, my sister.
Peace, Queen.
You shall. Creator willing.
Brother Paul, how you doing, man?
Yes, Brother Ochi. I wanted to make a small interjection while his sister was talking. When I listen to the earwaves in America, I hear this quite often. The Africans come here and we look down, or they look down on us, or we, whatever. You know, and the sister said, you know, if it wasn't for our ancestors. The truth of the matter is, even Ranoke Rashide says this, Africans have been traveling to America pre-Columbus, and that's a fact. Okay, even Ranoke, I've got his book, and he states that quite clearly. The Africans didn't just come to America through slavery. We have to throw away that narrative because it's not true. Over the Caribbean, Africans were there before Columbus arrived, and even in his diary that he met Africans in these places. So we got to throw away that narrative that Africans just arrived in America through slavery, because it's not true, absolutely not true. And secondly, the other thing, if you take the region of Nigeria, right? You know, we talk about Africa, and we do it a disservice. We talk about Africa as if to suggest that all Africans are one. Like we say African as being one person. There are 258 languages alone in that region of Nigeria alone. 258,
yes.
Right? And there's over 200 different ethnic groups. So we do ourselves a disservice when we think and we say Africa as if to suggest that they're all one people. Yeah? Because they're not. So if you get an African looking down on you, don't think all Africans do, because not all Africans are the same. These are the narratives thrown out there by the Europeans as if to suggest that we're all the same, and we're not. Yeah? And that's the reality of our situation. So we got to remember that. And that comes through education as opposed to this indoctrination which they feed us.
Yeah.
Right? The last
Can I say something to you, brother? I'm not talking from education. I'm talking from reality. They come here look African.
How many
people,
Africans have you met?
African people. I'm an African.
All of them?
I know.
All of them?
All of them. The majority.
Right, okay.
The majority. And no, that's not right, Queen.
Queen.
We are one people.
Right.
We think different.
Hold on, y'all. Hold on.
That's why they want us separated, man.
Hold on, Wes. Hold on.
No, we won't separate.
No, that's what they've taught us to do is separate. Hold on, Queen.
Yeah.
The dialogue is different.
Don't let me mute you. Hold on. No. Queen and other listeners, Paul is correct. It is not all. And I know that when we see a situation.
It's not the majority.
Right. We seem to make a stereotype. You know, the reality is.
We have that same problem here. Exact same problem. And I am fighting with it on a daily basis. The ignorance is unbelievable. You know, right? My parents come from Jamaica here in this country as immigrants, yeah? And we even get people who are born here like myself arguing against Africans who come here the other day. What ridiculous nonsense is that? And this is what these Europeans have done to our minds. Yeah. They've absolutely destroyed our minds, right? I tell you, right here in the UK, you might hear my voice heated, but I deal with this every day in the UK. The same ignorance every day. Mm-hmm. Right? And I have to remind them, because even within my own family, even though my family emanate out of Jamaica, we have through marriage. My dad's auntie is married to a Nigerian in the 50s. And same on my mom's side. I have Nigerian cousins, right? And one set of them are Igbo, and the other set of them are Yoruba, right? And there are the four main sects in Nigeria. Yoruba, they're Hausa, Fulani, right? And they don't necessarily agree with each other, right? And the same way the sister's talking about, and they look down on each other, some of the groups, they look down on each other too. So when they come to America, they come to America with a great deal of fear and great deal of insecurities. They don't know who are their real friends. Mm-hmm. They don't know who's who. So please, some of us need to have more empathy for each other. That's what I'm saying.
I say.
I agree. I was invited to speak at a Nigerian church some years ago. And there were certain perceptions in the church about African Americans, and I changed my message, and we talked about unity, and we talked about how these perceptions are created. There is a global divide and conquer. The image that African Americans know of Africans come from white men. The image that Africans know of African Americans come from white men. They control our media. They control our image. And when we see each other, we see each other based upon perceived notion about ourselves that's been programmed into our minds by those who want to keep us divided. Now, I've been to groups and places here in Atlanta where we're surrounded by African people from around the world, from Africa, from Great Britain, from all over. And I found that those of us, once we became educated about how the system works, there was love in the room. We didn't divide ourselves. We start seeing ourselves beyond the stereotype. But see, the deal is this. When people are programmed to believe something, that's all they see. They start to see those things that confirm their programming. But no.
Don't get it twisted. Don't misunderstand and misconstrue what I am saying. I said, and I will restate it because it's a reality. And y'all are making my point that people have put concepts and ideologies in our minds to divide us. And when they come, they have that concept in their head. The brother just spoke on it in reality from Jamaica. He just spoke on it. We have all kinds of tribes in Africa and even here in America. We have tribes. But we are one people.
America, by the way. There's no tribes in America.
There are no tribes in America. They're mindsets. Let me correct that.
There's no tribes in Africa either. Tribe is a European.
They're nations.
That's true.
They're nations. They're various nations, and that's how I like to identify them as
Let
nations.
Me finish.
But
yes.
okay, hold on, Queen. And I'll get back with you. The other thing about here, there's stratifications. There's those of us who have and a hell of a lot of us who have not. And we are consistently being manipulated and divided and at each other, you know, concerning that. So go ahead, Queen. Finish your point because I got another caller. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. So, yes, there are differences, but they're minor cultural differences.
Right.
But we are one people.
Right.
And they don't teach. We are one people in the Caribbean, in the UK, in Africa, and here, and in South, all over the world. We're one people.
Right.
But they have put a certain mindset, which is the discussion today, the language. It's the language. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Absolutely. I love my people. And when they come here, we welcome them. And they live amongst us. But we have to teach them that you don't know who your enemy really is. But we do.
No, they do know. They do.
Thank
know.
You. They know.
All right. 602, go ahead.
Yes, but I will say, you know, I kind of, you know, it's a little confusing. But you see, when you say a person is an African, that has to do with the ethnicity, their physiognomy, their physical characteristics, their nose, their lips. And I think we get that confused sometimes with nationality. You see, nationality and ethnicity is two different things. You see, I mean, like, okay, in Jamaica, you have Chinese, you have Syrians, you have, you know, whites, and they are Jamaicans. But their ethnicity is different, you see, your ethnic group, and that has to do with our Africanness. You see, that's what makes us African. So you may be in Africa, you speak a different language, you know, but the physical characteristics is what makes us African.
But not only that, but not only that, Marcus, because there are many of us who identify being African because of our lineage, because of our heritage, because of who we are, because of what has happened to us, because of what has happened to us. Some of us span the spectrum of light, bright, and damn near white to blue, black, but all of it African if they embrace that. Some don't. I've met people who, I'm a retired firefighter. How I came on the fire department was through affirmative action programs. There were Caucasians who were saying they were Latino. There were Caucasians who were saying they were Native American. There were Caucasians who were saying they were African. You know, so they could get the job.
Which is nowhere. Yeah, which don't make no sense.
Yeah. But
yeah, so,
you know, the thing is, I'm going to be that if it's beneficial for me to be that. But I'm not going to openly say that that's who I am, you see. Because just like the Irish dude, his name was John Walsh, and he claimed to be Native American. And he was blonde with blue eyes the whole nine yards. But that's how he came on the job and even used it for a promotion. So I'm saying is that when I say African and the African world, I'm saying those who embrace that, because there's a lot of us who don't. And that's why, for me, when we talk about this race war, because number one, there is no such thing as race. Race is a fallacy. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. Everybody came out of us. And this Caucasian, this Urugu, this incomplete being, is the crux of the world's problem. He's selfish, greedy, and he don't want to share. And he's caused, everywhere he's gone, he has caused problems. He has caused death. He's caused disease.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I'm saying is that for those of us who understand that, let's come together. For those who don't, fine. Because there's one thing that's clear to me. If there truly is a race war, just like Dr. Rogers said, there's a fight between two. That fight we cannot win. The armament, the technology, and so forth. This is a battle for the mind. That's why Franklin Jones is on this program every Wednesday, because that's what we talk about, the African mind. I end the program talking about it. It is a war. We have been warred upon, but the battle is for the minds of our people. It's the
Brother
mind.
OG.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead, Brother Paul.
On a Wednesday. You say this program is about the mind, right? And it's so attractive to me. I have to ring in and I have to contribute. Now, you've got to remember, I send this information around to people who do talk on local radio stations, and I recognize that they feel slightly intimidated to ring overseas. But the truth of the matter is, the mind, it is the mind. That is the pinnacle. That is the problem. Yes. That is the solution. And if you haven't got your mind right, no amount of money, no amount of theorizing, no amount of reading books is going to help you. And so I know that this is the pinnacle program. Absolutely. And that's why I make the time to contribute, because it's important that you hear. And it doesn't have to necessarily be my voice, because I share this information with people. And I ask them to ring.
Yes, you do. And I appreciate that. Yes, you do, Paul, and I appreciate it.
So I'm just saying, I know the importance. I've lived in America. Let me tell you, I've lived in it. I've got family there on my mom's side and my dad's side. I've got family in Canada. I've got family in Jamaica and Africa. I know very well, and I've been to
these places. Go away.
And I've spent time listening to these people. I've spent time listening to what they say. So when Brother Franklin Joe talks about the Tavistock Institute, when he talks about psychological warfare, I know he's hit the target 180%, because we're always pointing fingers at each other, telling things, saying things like, oh, it's them over there. Oh, their main tool against us has always been divide and conquer. And conquer. I live in England. I was born in England, UK. It's England, UK who runs this stuff. That's not right. America. England. It's run from here by the Queen of England. Make you know that. Yeah, when your president they have to come and bow before the Queen, right? Both Bush and the other one was knighted by the Queen. You don't know that, but they were knighted by the Queen, right? So I know how this. So when Brother Franklin comes out and says Tavistock Institute, he knows exactly what he's talking about, because all those from Sigmund Freud, right, who created this psychological thing, to the rest of these nutters, psychopaths, they emanate from here. And they've sown this stuff right around the world. Okay? So he knows. And it is the mind. That's what you have to conquer, the mind. And the language you use, we have to change our language to make sure we're using the correct language.
Yes. That's why for me on this program, I try my best. I don't use the word slave to describe us. We were captives. Imagine if all of us started saying that, how that narrative would change, because the Caucasian puts that on us, because he has bombarded us with that so much that you could see somebody else who's in servitude and say slave, but automatically, whose face do you put on that word? Us.
Yes.
You know,
that's why I don't. My dear sister queen, I don't want you to. I know the passion in Brother Paul's voice. It may sound, if you don't know him, it might be an attack. He's not attacking you. That passion comes from knowing the system, seeing the system. And when we see our people passionately affected by the system. So it's not an attack. The brother's not attacking you. The brother's respecting you. You are a queen. The passion is coming from the knowledge. And when you see our people so strongly programmed by the system, there's a passion that comes from you, because you know how the system works. It does come from the Tavistock Institute. And it does come from a study by Sigmund Freud, who studied the mind, and his nephew, Edward Bernays, use the system to program our minds. Our minds are formed, our opinions are thought by men we've never heard of. That's how we are programmed. Our perception of ourselves, our perception of our people. And when you think three people who brush you off speaks for millions or billions, that's not the case. If 20 people treat you wrong, it doesn't. If I walked out of my house, and every day I walked out of my house, I saw a black man kill another black man, that would be 365 deaths a day. 365 deaths. But that's not enough for me to make an assessment about the entire black population in America, because there are over 45 million African-Americans, and that number is also marginalized, because a part of psychological warfare always tells our numbers are smaller. But let's use the 45 million. If you look at 45 million African-Americans and you look at 365 deaths I've seen a year, that's not even half of 1% of 45 million. So in reality, there's nothing that I can see with my own eyes that can quantify and verify any of my negative perceptions of my black Americans. Those perceptions have been indoctrinated into my mind by those who control the narratives, statistics, and media images I see. There's no way humanly possible for one individual, based upon their own experience, to say this is how all people are. It's not humanly possible. It's not. But we believe it because our negative experiences confirms our programming. It's a sophisticated system. And it, like I said, like brother said, it started with the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior, now changed to the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. Our minds have been programmed. White society programs our minds to prevent us from unifying against them. That's how they protect themselves from unified black retribution. It's psychological warfare, and we're victims of it.
We're gonna only have a couple of minutes left for the program. So those who have been on and still on, I'm going to ask that you give a little synopsis if you want to say something. Dr. Rogers, go ahead if you want to say something.
Very good show, Brother Oshie. I think it's very interesting listening to all the perspectives coming on the table. I think at some point all of them can be put together and developed through a plan. We all come to the table with our own different ideas. But I'm a historian, and I like to look back in history. And very quickly, I can tell you that if you were to go into the archives and the records of the UNIA movement of Marcus Garvey, you would hear the very same conversations that were said today into the minutes and ideas of the UNIA movement. Garvey raised the same questions that we asked back in the 1930s. And he asked the question, where is your government?
Right.
Where are your army? Where is your military? And that's the same thing we're asking right now.
I say. Paul.
Yeah. Brother Franklin's quite right. My passion and my frustrations come from the fact that I see the reality and I've seen the reality. And these people like Franklin Jones, Brother Oshie, and this platform just remind me that how right I am. And the bottom line is that we must invest firstly in this platform. If we must give donations, we must support, and we must encourage others to listen to this platform. This is where it starts. You start with what you've got. So if it needs money, you donate some money. If it needs support, you donate the support, and you grow this platform so we all can talk and we all can grow together. Thank you.
Ashe, thank you, Brother Paul. Brother Wes.
Yes, sir. Good show, my man. But we always got to remember one thing. We need to stop arguing and fighting amongst ourselves. That's what the enemy loves. So from this day on, I pledge every brother and sister on the call that we are not the enemy to each other.
I say.
Once we realize that, then we can get somewhere. Peace and blessings.
All right. Brother Marcus.
Yes, brother. Yes. You know, we got to remember, in order for America to work, it is essential that black people be out of their minds.
Yes.
And this is the United States of Europe. America is the United States of Europe. The rest of them, the European, they go and steal, and they come and bring it here to America and say, she defends. She the one that buy the stolen goods. So, you know, but we're going to win. I see it.
That's
so
right.
Keep on keeping on, good brothers and sisters.
All right, brother. Sister Queen.
So I want to say this.
Sister Queen.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Final comment, please. Oh, she's not there. All right, Brother Frank.
What I want to say is I believe that every call, every perspective, everything presented from everyone, from the Queen, from everyone today, with a contribution to the show. And I think people listening to us benefited from all of our perspective, because by throwing in different perspective and having it being addressed, it had allowed listeners to listen and hear and understand. So I believe I thank everyone for calling in. I thank everyone from bringing forward their perspective, because it made the show greater. It elevated the show. I thank everyone. I thank you greatly, Sister Queen, for calling in. I thank you greatly, Brother Paul, and all of you others for calling in. We appreciate the call.
We sure do. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the European, the Caucasian, the Urugu, the cracker, the oppressor, is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you listening. Hope you will continue to listen. There'll be a pre-recorded program this Friday. I'll be in L.A. I'll tell you about that when I get back Monday. But we're in this struggle together. We're in this struggle together. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. And Abibi Fahodia. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia, family. Peace.
Ashe.